Our scripture reading this morning comes from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said they have had too much wine. The word of God. Thanks be to the Lord. This is week three in our short three-week series on the Holy Spirit. So this is our last week. We'll be moving from this series into a series on God the Father, which will lead us up to Father's Day. Week one, we discussed who the Holy Spirit is, who He is, that He is a gift of God, that He is God present with us, that He dwells with us, helping us to move deeper and closer in our relationship with God, helping us to advance the kingdom of God, helping us to understand the will and words of God. And then last week, Rod discussed what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be completely infected by the Holy Spirit, that we should allow our entire beings and lives to be completely consumed by the power of the Holy Spirit moving and working in our lives. I'll say this, it's pretty incredible that he delivered such a quality sermon on Sunday and then performed surgery the next day. I don't know anybody else who can do that, who can deliver such quality sermons and then perform surgery the following. That's pretty incredible. At the beginning of this series, I said that there's no way that we'll be able to completely cover the topic of the Holy Spirit. There's really no way that we can do that in such a short series, and really, we would be difficult to do it even if we extended this series out indefinitely. That is the expanse and depth of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is, after all, God. Originally, I intended to speak this morning specifically talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, or what it means to demonstrate the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We'll be touching on that this morning, but I'm going to be going in a little bit different of a direction. So hang with me. So we know that God promised in the Old Testament that He was going to pour out His Holy Spirit on all people. We see this in Joel chapter 2. We saw Jesus teaching during His ministry that the Holy Spirit was going to come. John the Baptist also proclaimed that the Holy Spirit was going to come. Then later, Paul referred to the promised Holy Spirit. Acts 2 is a wonderful reminder of God's promise-keeping nature. We see throughout Scripture, through the Old Testament, through John the Baptist, through Christ, and even after Christ, how Scripture talks about the promise of the Holy Spirit and then God fulfilling that promise. And oftentimes, as people When people promise us something, it's maybe we lower our expectations because we're worried that we might be disappointed either by that promise not being fulfilled or maybe by it not being quite as good as we were expecting. Well, this is one case where people should have elevated their expectations because the Holy Spirit is far greater than anyone really anticipated. The Holy Spirit was indeed present during Old Testament days. He has always existed. He has always interacted with humanity. He's always been part of God's movement and action throughout all eternity. But his work took this wonderful new turn with the new covenant. You see, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon certain Israelites to enable the plan, the will of God, to enact special actions of power or services. But now, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells and lives within us permanently. Jesus has blessed his church, his followers, us, all who declare him as their Lord and Savior. He has blessed us by putting his Holy Spirit in us. We currently live in the age that is referred to as the age of the Spirit. And we shouldn't see these events that take place in this account of Pentecost as something that came and went. It's ongoing. The Holy Spirit didn't come and go. He came and stayed. He stayed with us. Pentecost was a celebration that the Jewish people celebrated 50 days following Passover. It's where it gets its name, Pentecost, from 50. And it was a celebration of harvest. It was one of three major festivals on the Jewish annual calendar. And so people would have gathered together to celebrate the harvest and give of their first fruits. It would have been this celebratory party. And so it's very fitting that this is the day that God chose to send his Holy Spirit. This particular Pentecost marked a harvest of souls. It marked a harvest of souls. Now, when the Holy Spirit came that day, there were many signs and that came with the Holy Spirit. The first was the sounds or the wind that they heard. That a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Now, in Kansas, where I remember growing up and watching videos about tornadoes and them saying, oh, it sounded like a freight train. And so, at least here in Kansas, we're familiar with what a violent wind can sound like. And here, this is the type of force or wind that it's describing here. Both the Hebrew and Greek words for spirit can also be translated to mean wind or breath. The Greek word for spirit is pneuma, from which we get such terms as pneumatic drills or pneumatic forces, air-driven machines which derive their power from air. In Hebrew, it's ruah. At creation, God breathed into man his own ruah, his breath, and man became a living spirit, a living ruah. The breath of God is associated with his life-giving spirit. In Ezekiel 37, the power of the Spirit is likened to breathing life into corpses. And indeed, that's what happens to us at conversion, is that we were dead to sin, but as we follow Christ, we're granted new lives. We're breathed into by the Holy Spirit, breathing new life into corpses. There was also signs of sight or fire. God's presence is often associated with fire. We see this, the burning bush in the wilderness, as the people wandered through the wilderness being led by a pillar of fire. We see God as fire within the temple in the Old Testament. Hebrews 12 describes God as being a consuming fire. Throughout the Old Testament, fire has been used as a symbol of God's judgment. Fire is also symbolic of two other things. First, light. If we think of electricity, really throughout world history, is a relatively new thing. Prior to that, light was put off by fire, candles or a fire. And really, our greatest source of physical light is our sun, which is fire. And so we are reminded that it is the Holy Spirit illuminates or shines light on things. And then fire is also symbolic of warmth, that we are warmed by fire, that we are comforted, that we are that the Holy Spirit dwells with us, and then also sparks within us a fire, that we are to be on fire for Christ, that we're not to be lukewarm, but on fire. And the last sign was the sign of speech or tongues. At the time this account took place, there were people visiting Jerusalem from every nation on earth. It says from every nation under heaven. And each of these travelers heard the disciples speaking their native language. And the disciples were not trained in foreign languages. They would not have known these languages. And so it is really this supernatural event that is taking place. So much so that the crowd is amazed. They're amazed by the diversity of the languages being spoken. And they're seeking to find some type of explanation as to what's going on here. You know, and they come up with this idea they must be drunk. Well, I don't have a ton of experience with alcohol, but I have never seen it empower people to speak a different language. And so this is really, this is a supernatural thing that's taking place here. Let's take a step back here and move back to a previous account from Genesis 11, the Tower of Babel. If you recount the story of the Tower of Babel, the people were building this tower really to glorify themselves, to try to attain some godness. And as a result, as a punishment, God gave the people all these different languages, and it separated the people. Now in this Pentecost account, God is beginning to reverse that. He's beginning to reverse what took place at the Tower of Babel. And really what we're learning here is that God is clearly communicating that the gospel is for all people, all nations, all people. Pentecost stands as a mighty demonstration of God's pursuit of worshipers from every tongue, everyone. Tony Meredith says this: some have called Pentecost a reversal of what happened at Babel in Genesis 11, at the Tower of Babel. God introduced diverse human languages that resulted in the dispersion of humanity. At Pentecost, he united everyone in Jerusalem by allowing the gospel to cross language barriers. Pentecost, however, is not a total reversal of the Babel event. God didn't give everyone the same language at Pentecost. Instead, unique languages were preserved as everyone heard the same message. This is important. It tells us that God is glorified in Christ exalting unity amid blessed diversity. It tells us that God is glorified in Christ exalting unity amid blessed diversity. I'm going to say that one more time. It tells us that God is glorified in Christ exalting unity amid blessed diversity. How marvelous is this? To be united amidst blessed diversity. God created diversity, but requires unity. Pentecost gives us a foretaste of heaven's culture, what heaven will look like. God-given unity amid beautiful diversity. I'm going to read now from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. This is concerning spiritual gifts. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagan, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits, to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. Our God is a God who likes variety, a God who likes diversity, even in the gifts that He gives us. To His diverse children, He gives diverse gifts. We have such a creative and wonderful God. And what's wonderful is that all of us, as followers of Jesus Christ, as God's children, are filled with the Holy Spirit. We're united by Christ, empowered to be together in unity by the Spirit. We receive the Holy Spirit at conversion, what's referred to as the baptism of the Spirit. But we can be filled over and over and over again. That the Holy Spirit fills us up. It was just like that, the water bottle, that we can refill it. Or you can imagine it as being the pilot light on your stove, that it's something that doesn't go out, but you can turn up the intensity or the fuel of that fire. The Holy Spirit is what empowers us for bold witness and service. One of the most important operations of God, the Holy Spirit, is to illuminate the truth of God, to put a searchlight on it for our understanding. The Holy Spirit helps us to understand God's will and plan for the earth, to understand who He is. God wants Christians who are on fire, burning with a passion about things of God. When the Spirit comes upon a person, He kindles that spark. He starts a flame that consumes the heart and soul so that the affection born that hour will increase in intensity as we grow in Christ. And the fuel for that fire is the Word of God, prayer, and the sacraments. You know, the church, all churches, should serve as outposts for the kingdom of God. We as God's chosen people are called to move outward, expanding the kingdom. That we are to bring the gospel message to the people, to love people, to fight against the forces of darkness, to fight against injustice and poverty, the darkness of our world. That we are at war. That we stand with the God of peace at war against the things of this world. And the church serves as an outpost. And an outpost does several things. One, it provides a place of safety for God's people. That we come and we experience the God of peace and safety. That we become united here. That we grow stronger together here. But an outpost doesn't serve as much if it never sends its people out. We are called to move outward into the world around us to bring the love of God to people. And just as the disciples were empowered to bring the gospel message to every nation and tongue, we too are empowered to bring the gospel message to everyone. You know, in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, it says that people from every nation under heaven were gathered there. In our country today, it's safe to say that we have people from every nation gathered here. That we need to allow ourselves to be empowered by the Holy Spirit so that we are able to speak in a language that each and every one of them understands, to proclaim boldly the love of Christ for them, to not let anything stand in our way. And people will stand up and they will say things like, oh, maybe they'll accuse us of being drunk or something else like they accused the other disciples. Bring it on. Because I bring with me the good news of Jesus Christ. I bring with me the Holy Spirit. I am empowered by Him. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit. He gifts us everything that we need to move the kingdom forward, to advance it forward, to seek justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before our God. You know, a person filled with the Holy Spirit may do a variety of activities. But each and every one of those activities will magnify Jesus. And so that's my encouragement to you today. Whatever your gifts might be, and some of you may not know, but a good clue to the gifts that God has given you are the things that you're good at. What has God made you good at? Maybe it's sports. Maybe it's teaching. Maybe it's loving people. Maybe it's talking. Maybe it's sharing something. Maybe it's prophesying. Maybe you heal people. Whatever you are good at, use that to advance the kingdom of God, to magnify Jesus, to share His love with the world around you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, mighty God, we stand before You this morning really as nothing. Before You, we are nothing, but through You, we become everything. You empower us with your Spirit. You created us to be your reflection to the world around us. God, you are everything. And we can be that reflection to the world around us. We pray that we would do so. We pray that you would remind us what it looks like to love. Radical love in the face of opposition, in the face of those who would try to stop it. We pray that we would be agents of radical love, of justice, that we would fight against the forces of darkness, that we would be reminded that nothing will overcome your kingdom, and that we stand with you, and that absolutely nothing can overcome you. You are mighty. You are mighty to save. You are mighty to redeem. You are mighty to love. And we thank you for that. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.